Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 8, Krishna shows the universal form, text 41. Ato yatavana vitarka gocharam. Cheto mana karma vichobir anjasa. Yet ashrayam yena yatak pratiyate. Sudora bibhavyam pranastami tatpadam. Aho. Therefore, she decided to surrender unto the Supreme Lord. Yathavat, as perfectly as one can perceive. Na, vitarka gocharam. Beyond all arguments, reason, and sense perception. Chaitaha, by consciousness. Manaha, by mind. Karma, by activities. Vachubi, or by words. Anjasa, taking all of them together. We cannot understand them. Yet ashrayam, under whose control? Yena, by whom? Yata, from whom? Pratiyate, can be conceived only from that from whom him everything emanates. Can be conceived only that from him everything emanates. Sudora bibhavyam, beyond our sense perception or consciousness. Pranata asmi, let me surrender. Tat padam, at his lotus feet. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Therefore, let me surrender unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead and offer my obeisances unto Him, who is beyond the conception of human speculation, the mind, activities, words, and arguments, who is the original cause of this cosmic manifestation, by whom the entire cosmos is maintained, and by whom we can conceive of its existence. Let me simply offer my obeisances. For he is beyond my contemplation, speculation, and meditation. He is beyond all of our material activities. Purport. One simply has to realize the greatness of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One should not try to understand him by any material means, subtle or gross. Mother Jasoda, being a simple woman, could not find out the real cause of the vision. Therefore, out of maternal affection, she simply offered obeisances unto the Supreme Lord to protect her child. She could do nothing but offer obeisances to the Lord. It is said, Achintya kalu ye bhava na tamstarkena yojayat. Mahabharata, Bhishma Parva, 522. One should not try to understand the Supreme Cause by argument or reasoning. When we are beset by some problem for which we can find no reason, there is no alternative than to surrender to the Supreme Lord and offer him our respectful obeisances. Then our position will be secure. This was the means adopted in this instance also by Mother Jashoda. Whatever happens, the original cause is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sarva Karna Karna. When the immediate cause cannot be ascertained, let us simply offer our obeisances at the lotus feet of the Lord. Mother Jashoda concluded that the wonderful things she saw within the mouth of her child were due to him, with a capital H, not to Krishna, due to him, the Supreme Lord. Although she could not clearly ascertain the cause. Therefore, when a devotee cannot ascertain the cause of suffering, he concludes, Tate nukampam susamikshamano punjana evatma kritam vipakam ridvag vapubir ridadan namaste jiveta yo mukti pade sadayabak. The devotee accepts that it is due to his own past misdeeds that the Supreme Personality of Godhead has caused him some small amount of suffering. Thus he offers obeisances to the Lord again and again. Such a devotee is called Mukti Pade Sadayaba. That is, he is guaranteed his liberation from this material world. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita 2.14, Matra Sparsha Sukonteya Chitoshna Sukadukada Agama Paino Nityas Tam Tadiksha Svabharata. One should know that the material suffering due to the material body will come and go. Therefore, we must tolerate the suffering and proceed with discharging our duty as ordained by our spiritual master. So the text again. Therefore, let me surrender unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead and offer my obeisances unto him, who is beyond the conception of material speculation, the mind, activities, words, and arguments, who is the original cause of this cosmic manifestation, by whom this cosmic manifestation, entire cosmos is maintained, and by whom we can conceive of its existence. Let me simply offer my obeisances, for he is beyond any contemplation, speculation, and meditation. He is beyond all of my material activities. This is one of the reasons why Krishna is manifesting this pastime, to teach us that no matter how advanced we may become, we cannot always understand exactly Krishna's purpose behind what he's doing. That our realizations, our conceptions, our meditations can only go up to a point. And therefore, rather than argue with what our situation is, we should accept it that somehow or another Krishna has arranged it. Otherwise, if we try to figure out too deeply why I'm in this particular situation, then we may forget Krishna. In other words, why we're in this situation? Because Krishna put us in this situation. And why did Krishna put us in this situation? Because somehow or another, that's why he did it. Now, of course, we know, as it says here, Tate nukampam susamikshamano punjana evatma kritam vipakam. It's not that we're supposed to blindly just accept our situation. But the conclusion should be, it is not Krishna's fault. It is due to our past misdeeds that we're put into an uncomfortable situation. Why he did it, it's not that he doesn't like us and therefore he enjoys watching the soul suffering. He did it because tate nukampam su samikshamano. Su means nicely. If we understand things nicely, iksha, if we see things nicely, mana, and the mind accepts it because we can see things perfectly and our mind may still reject what we're seeing. So when we use our intelligence properly and our mind accepts what we're seeing, susamikshamano, That's called Krishna consciousness. Tate nukampam su samikshamano. Sa iksha sama. Sama means completely. So when we see everything completely, nicely and completely, and our mind accepts it, then what do we see? Bhunjana evatma kritam vipakam. Bhunjana means our experience. Generally our experience means suffering, but someone may take it otherwise. Bhunjana, it means enjoyment. It means enjoying the material energy, which essentially means suffering in the material energy. Evatma kritam. Kritam means to do. Vipakam, our sinful activities, because of what we've done wrong in the past. And therefore, ridvagvapuvir vividanamaste, with our rid, with our heart, which means, and vag means our words. Vag, rid means more or less our feeling. So, with our feelings, with our words, with our body, vapu, vira, vidadanamaste, we offer obeisances to Krishna. Not that we start cursing Krishna, why did you put me in this situation? I've been serving you so nicely, and now you did this to me. What kind of God are you? You're supposed to be all-powerful, so I'm very small, and yet you put me in this horrible situation. What, you like seeing others suffer? Is that why you did it? No one has to accept that Krishna is just giving us a pinprick. Well, actually, we deserve the electric chair. But he's giving us a pinprick to awaken us that this is not a good thing to do. Otherwise, if we got, as Ravana, he wanted to build a stairway to heaven. And any time anyone did something bad, sinful, they'd go to heaven. And anytime anyone did anything pious, they'd go to hell. So this is Ravana's plan. You get rewarded for your sinful activities and condemned for your pious activities. So this is modern society. This is what they're trying to do, is encourage people to do things that will actually send them to hell. They're advertising it's going to take you to heaven. And the things that will actually take you to heaven, their advertising will take you to hell. Because it's in the mode of ignorance. Privitim cha, nivritim cha, janana nivada asura. That's also one of the verses. Privitim cha, nivritim cha. This is chapter 18. Text number... Adharmam dharma itiya manite tamasavritaha sarvatam vitparitamscha buddhisaparta tamasi. In the mode of ignorance, knowledge is, they think what is dharma is adharma. What is religious, what is to be done, they think is not to be done. And what's not to be done, they're convinced that that's what they should be doing. And therefore they always strive in the wrong direction. So, because the persons who are in ignorance are in control of the material world now, this earth, whatever we are, therefore they're directing people towards the wrong direction. Andaya tandira, upgiyamanas tepisha tantra urudami bara. They're blind, and they're proclaiming that they actually have eyes to see. And people who are also blind, they believe in these so-called leaders, misleaders, believing that they have eyes to see, and they're following them. And although the leaders, since time immemorial, such leaders, are continuously facing the path of birth and death, still the blind followers are going along with them. Because they're blind. They don't understand that by following such leaders, they're putting themselves into difficulty. Therefore, naishamati stavada rukramangrim svishatinartha bhagavan namahasha nimiyasans vishan bhagne matista dava rukramangrim svishatinartha bhagavan namahasha mahisham padarajavishekam is kinchananam nanavriti yatadvat. Therefore, one has to choose someone who is tolerant at least. If someone's not tolerant, it means that they're agitated. If they're agitated, depending upon what's the extent of their agitation, means that their minds are uncontrolled. If their minds are uncontrolled, they must be unhappy. They must be suffering. As Krishna says that there's nothing in this material. This greatest enemy is the uncontrolled mind. And if you don't believe me, just let your mind wander all over the universe and see how much you enjoy it. Sometimes it will take you to the heavenly planets and sometimes to the hellish planets. But it will be a very uncomfortable ride. Just like riding on one of these Ferris, not the Ferris wheels, with steep, they have these things here, goes up and down. Roller coaster, yes. It may be seemingly exciting to some people, the fact that they're maybe thrown off the roller coaster, landing on the head first and breaking their neck. It may seem exciting because their lives are so dull. Then any excitement like that is enlivening to them, but it's not a very exact. It's not the highest enlivenment that's possible, but it's the only one that they know of. Or bungee jumping, jumping off a bridge with a rope. One person did it because he wanted to save the money; it was too expensive for him. But he didn't measure the bridge right, the height of the bridge, and therefore the rope was too short. So he saved money, but he didn't save his life. He jumped off. So this type of excitement is not exactly auspicious. It's not exactly the real excitement in life. And the real excitement begins with tolerance. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Trinadapi sunichena tariva sahishnuna. At first we have to become humble. That we're not the controllers, we're not the enjoyers of the material world. Everything is not under our control. And therefore, when something goes wrong, we should be humble enough to think about the fact that I might be responsible for it, for my own suffering. The demons never think like that, because they say, asatyam apratishtam te jagarahoranishvaram aparashparam sambhutyam kimanya kamahaitukam. They think that this world is unreal. It has no foundation, has no God in control, is produced of sex desire, and has no other cause than lust. So they don't believe that they're suffering their past misdeeds. They believe it's all phantasmagoria, it's all going by accident, and the only thing to do is to gratify your senses. There's nothing else, because that's the ultimate truth, is lust. Therefore, they can never tolerate. Just like when Bhrigu Muni, he went to discover on behalf of the sages who's the supreme. So he went to his father first, Lord Brahma, and didn't offer any respects to Lord Brahma. So Lord Brahma became angry at him for not respecting him as his father. So then he went to but he controlled his anger by his immense intelligence. Just like his immense intelligence is compared to water and his anger is compared to fire. So his immense intelligence put out the fire. But it was clear that Lord Brahma became agitated. So Bhrigu Muni went to Kailas, where he saw his brother, Lord Shiva. And Lord Shiva came to embrace him. My brother, thank you. So happy to see you. And Bhrigu Muni said, stop, don't touch me. You're covered with ashes from the crematorium. You're filthy. you're ghostly haunted, don't touch me. So Lord Shiva became angry at being insulted like that by words, picked up his trident to kill him. The Parvati fell across Lord Shiva's feet, begged him to spare his brother, and so Bhrigamuni took off, not waiting to find out how tolerant Lord Shiva actually was. And he went to Swetadweep, where Lord Vishnu was lying on the couch, and his Lakshmi Devi was massaging his feet. And Bhrigamuni barged into the Chintamani Palace, went up to Lord Vishnu, who was lying down on the bed, and kicked him in the chest. The greatest offense. But Lord Vishnu, being the Supreme Personality of Godhead, got off from his bed and offered respect to Bhrigamuni, put Bhrigamuni on his bed, on the bed, and started to massage Bhrigamuni's lotus feet, and asked if Bhrigamuni, he said, Lord Vishnu asked for forgiveness, that he was afraid that maybe Bhrigu's lotus foot was hurt by his hard thunderbolt-like chest. And he begged Bhrigamuni's forgiveness for not properly greeting him when he came in. And asked Bhrigamuni to stay in this Vaikuntha planet in order to purify it. So Bhrigamuni was completely amazed that he had committed the greatest offense against Lord Vishnu, but Lord Vishnu didn't take it at all as offensive. Instead, he was simply maintaining his relationship as the servant of his devotee. So Bhrigamuni understood that Lord Vishnu is the actual person who is completely situated in transcendence by his immense tolerance. So this is the tolerance we have to learn by focusing our attention on the Supreme. As Mother Jasoda was able to tolerate the situation because she focused her attention on Narayan to protect her child, fully confident that Narayan would protect him. So that's our goal also, is to learn how to fix our minds upon Krishna. And the first installment is that we should become a little humble, that we're not the controllers. We're not supposed to be the enjoyers here. We're supposed to enjoy, become happy by making Krishna happy. When we experience Krishna's happiness, then we can become happy. And when we serve Krishna's purpose, rather than serve our own purposes, then we can actually try to please Krishna. And by pleasing Krishna, we can become happy. And when we become happy in Krishna consciousness, then we can also become tolerant. And when we become tolerant, then we can actually see how everything is part and parcel of Krishna, everything is emanating from Krishna, then the real knowledge will be revealed to us when we don't become, either later when there's happiness or depressed, when we're in a difficult situation. We maintain our Krishna consciousness under all circumstances. And then the result will be that we'll be able to see how wonderful everything actually is, how everything is part and parcel of the spiritual energy, and that Krishna is a complete spiritual whole. Then it's possible to start renouncing the external things, the desire for janam, for followers, for beautiful women, or men, for wealth, for liberation. Then we can gradually absorb our minds in Krishna consciousness and not become bewildered by these attractions. Then we can actually feel ourselves be a humble atom at Krishna's lotus feet and feel ourselves to be sheltered there. And that feeling of being sheltered at Krishna's lotus feet means that we begin real devotional service, and all the perfections of real devotional service up to the love of God will be manifested gradually. So we should take example from Mother Jasoda here, how to take shelter of Lord Narayan, even under very difficult circumstances. If you look into the mouth of your child and you see all the universes, it's a little difficult. Of course, nowadays people take drugs, so they may think it's perfectly normal. nothing disturbs them. But for an ordinary person to see such things is quite disturbing. And yet Mother De Soto was able to maintain her equilibrium because she took shelter of Lord Narayan. So that's a perfect example for us. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions, comments? Ramai.
How we can focus on Krishna and absorb in Krishna. You mentioned that Yashoda was absorbed in Krishna.
Lord Narayan, of course she was always absorbed in Krishna, but when she wanted to take shelter to protect Lord Krishna, then she took shelter of Narayan.
So how can we absorb? It's like the mind is always fine everywhere. So how can we absorb easily?
Well, let it fly to Krishna also. It's going everywhere. Might as well also go to Krishna. Therefore, as it's the song we were singing, we should take shelter of the process, especially as in this particular song, chanting the holy name, Gauranga Balite Habe, Pulaka Sharia, and also reading the literature left by the six Goswamis.
Thank you. Well, another thing, you said that we should tolerate if we have some problems coming. We should understand that this is for our past misdeeds. But for example, if we have a disease or a sickness, should we just tolerate, or should we also try to treat it, or kind of
tolerate? Doesn't mean we don't do anything.
No.
It means we tolerate in the sense we keep our minds fixed on Krishna, as I say. We see it in relation to Krishna as the power of our past misdeeds. But we continue to utilize our words, our heart, our feelings, our body. We continue to use it in Krishna's service, no matter what the circumstances. So, according to the circumstances, if we're sick, we still try to think about Krishna. But doesn't mean we don't take care of this. Body.
Okay.
The machine is not working properly. Doesn't mean we don't fix it.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't identify ourselves with the machine just because we're fixing it. If your car doesn't work, it doesn't mean when you're fixing it, you become the car.
Mm-hmm.
Or as I always say, we don't think ourselves a hum car.
Yeah.
I am the car. Anything else?
When Bribhu When Bribhu, you said that this is our story. When Bribhu, when he went to Roshiva, so you said that Bribhu, he criticized Roshiva that you are dirty, everything. But then Roshiva tolerated.
He didn't tolerate.
He
picked up a trident. He was going to kill his brother. But Parvati fell across his feet, Lord Shiva's feet, and begged him to spare his brother.
But in power, Lord Shiva is very powerful. He can destroy everybody in one sense. That's what people know. They're like, who's more powerful?
It wasn't a question of powerful.
Yeah, Lord Shiva.
Bhrigu was just criticizing. He wanted, because he, with his body, with his mind, he offended Lord Brahma, and Lord Brahma became agitated. With his words, he offended his brother, and his brother became agitated. And with his body, he offended Lord Vishnu, the corporal offense, the worst offense. Lord Vishnu didn't become agitated. Khala Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.